that make up the balance of the report.
Well, for the common council, those in the audience, that particular section of the CAFR is really helpful for all of us doing our jobs. There's lots of information about the city and statistics that we can use in working with our constituents. So just to point that out.
I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. There's numerous times when you're having discussions during the year where you're talking about different things, and if you had the CAFR document with you, you could refer to those pages, such as the largest taxpayers in the city, indicating who's paying the most in taxes. The largest employers in the city over a 10-year time frame is listed in this report. So there's a large group of information that's included in these tables at the back end of the report that would be helpful to you as you're making your discussions and deliberations during the year.
I know that I keep my CAFR with me at all times.
I'm sure it helps you get a good night's sleep on occasion. The Government Accounting Standards Board, we refer to it as the GASB, sets the rules at which we have to work and as we prepare these financial statements. And then there's an Association of Government Finance Officers. It's a national organization of about 19,000 professionals who work in the government sphere, either in preparing statements or in auditing statements or setting rules. And they have a number of awards programs. One relates to this particular document, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. We call it the CAFR. City of Franklin has received that award for 24 years straight, ending with the 2016 report. And I believe we are second or third longest city in the state of Wisconsin that have been receiving that report. So our particular report has been an award-winning report for a long time, and this 2017 report, once it's final, will be submitted for the 25th award.
Are you going to change it?
No, we're not. We're going to get it.
Prove it. Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about the results, and I'll start my conversation talking in terms of the short-term report, which is the financial reports that you're most accustomed to seeing. The citywide report is reported on Exhibit D, as in David, and that report shows that for the city as a total had a little over a $400,000 surplus. But the fund you're most accustomed to working with is the general fund. That is the fund that accounts for the city operations, general government, public safety, public works, culture, development. That particular fund had a deficit of $1.2 million. There were revenues on a budgetary basis of $23.7 million. That was a little better than $500,000 less than we planned. Taxes obviously came in at what we expected, but building permits, ambulance fees, and landfill siting revenues were short of the projections, and so that accounted for the $500,000 shortfall in revenues in that fund. On the expenditure side, the general fund had $24.9 million worth of expenditures. You can look at your report. There's listed here on this particular item, but every one of the line items came in at budget or less. And that's after we had a number of amendments that you would have voted on during the year last year. Details are available to you on Schedule 4, pages 102 and 101 of the report. As I mentioned, the general fund had a planned deficit of $1.5 million. The actual deficit was $1.2 million. A couple of major items in there. When the budget was adopted in the fall of 2016, which may seem like a long time ago, but really isn't in the grand scheme of things, we had planned a $675,000 one-time contribution to the public works pension. That did occur. We had anticipated $104,000 in separation costs. Those did occur. We had planned an $82,000 tax refund on some challenges to their assessments. That did not occur in 2017, although there was a $26,000 refund that did happen. There were some unusual building improvement expenditures to the tune of $68,000 in police and fire buildings. Most but not all of those expenditures did occur. So the planned deficit spending did in fact occur, but the revenues which fell short, other expenses were less than anticipated, so the deficit came in smaller than we anticipated. There are two other major funds in the city. That's the debt service fund as well as the tax incremental district funds. Those are each separate funds. The debt service fund had a small surplus of about $84,000. The one point that I would make to the Common Council, the debt service fund was anticipating a transfer in of impact fees to help pay for older projects. And you may have forgotten about these, but we built a new police station in the early 2000s. We are still collecting impact fees to help pay for that building. We built a library at approximately the same period of time. We are still collecting impact fees to help support the debt that serviced those buildings. And there was a transportation project. We're still collecting some impact fees as well on the fire station that we built. Those fees are less than what we planned and do not support the debt service that were used for that. There are several millions of dollars of unpaid impact fees because the development hasn't yet occurred that will support debt service in the future, even though the debt's been retired because we've had to raise those taxes from taxpayers. We do talk about that periodically, but this is my opportunity to really point that out. So we do need that new development to occur to generate those fees to retire that debt.
Callie heard that. That's what I said.
Tax incremental funds had a total deficit of $310,000, but within that, TID 3 had a deficit of $1.4 million. I got that wrong. I updated that. TID 4 had a $1.1 million surplus, and TID 5 had a $47,000 deficit. In total, the deficits in the TIDs were $300,000. All the TIDs combined have a $2.2 million fund balance at the end of the year. Then the city has 14 non-major funds, and they're broken into two groups. One is the special revenue funds. You might think of those as the library fund, the solid waste fund, St. Martin's Fair, the donations, the grant funds. Those all funds had $370,000 worth of surplus, and I identify the various fund balances in that particular item. The only major issue that you should take a look at is St. Martin's Fair fund continues to have a deficit. It's operating on an annual deficit basis. At some point in time, the city is going to have to deal with that particular fund. Capital funds are made up of two groups of funds. There's four funds: capital improvement fund, equipment replacement fund, capital outlay, and the street improvement fund are all funds that we expend activities on relative to capital activities. And then there are two funds included in this group that collect resources: the development fund, where we accumulate, collect the impact fees, and the utility development fund, where we collect special assessments on water and sewer projects that occur, and then those become resources for new projects that would occur in the city. Capital Improvement Fund had a $1.1 million surplus. Most of that was generated by a borrowing that we did last year to support the 2018 capital projects. We did that in order to preserve the opportunity to take in some retroactive tax increases. The council chose not to do that, but we needed to borrow those funds to preserve that opportunity in 2018. Equipment Replacement Fund had a $60,000 deficit. It has a $2.3 million fund balance. The reason that that's important to you is in the very near future, there's a number of departments that are going to have some significant rolling stock capital improvements, and this fund then will have resources available without having to raise taxes to support that. Now, I say that because those $2.3 million of resources are, in fact, available, but the expenditures in this fund will exceed this fund in the early 2020s, and then we will need to go to the debt markets to support that because we have been underfunding that. That's the structural deficit in this fund over the last several years. That is pointed out in the annual budget documents as you are presented. They are presented to you. Capital Outlay had a $14,000 surplus. It has a $350,000 fund balance, but there were $88,000 worth of encumbrances, commitments made in 2017 that will actually be expended in 2018. So that will reduce that fund balance. Street Improvement Fund had a $29,000 surplus and has a $280,000 fund balance. That fund generally spends nearly $900,000 on an annual basis. So that's an in and an out on a constant basis. We talked a little bit earlier about the development fund. It had a $322,000 worth of impact fees that were collected this past year. That is less than half of what it was the year before and significantly down from where it had been in prior years. That's speaking to the issue of the lack of development in 2017 in the city. With the activity in 2018, we have the Ballpark Commons taking place and a number of other large projects. I would expect the impact fee collections to resume at a much higher level. But I would note that almost no park impact fees were transferred out of this fund last year, as almost no park qualifying park expenditures took place. The fund does have nearly $3 million worth of park impact fees, which are reaching their holding period, even under the extension that the city adopted a couple years ago. So that's an issue that is being addressed in the 2018 budget. There was $100,000 worth of water impact fees, which were expended to support a developer's project in 2017 that actually occurred in 2016. This particular fund has a $4.2 million fund balance. $3.2 million of that is related to parks, and a little over $1 million of that is related to water. The rest of the park, the various impact fees have very few low balances, and that's why there's no funds to transfer to the debt service to support the debt service fund. Capital Improvement Fund, there were very few projects. There was an ambitious plan put together in the 2017 budget. Most of that related to TID 5 and did not occur, as you're well aware. The developer's agreement wasn't signed until early 2018, and so those projects were moved forward to 2018. Capital Improvement Fund did have a $1.6 million borrowing, as we talked about earlier, and that will support the 2018 Capital Improvement Program. There are several other funds that are included in this report. They're agency funds, two major ones that we should talk about. There's a fund that collects and holds the tax levy. So the city had a $21 million tax levy for 2018 that was billed in December of 2017, but there were several other taxing authorities, the county, Milwaukee Area Technical College, the Franklin School District, part of Oak Creek School District, the Whitnall School District. All of those taxes are included and collected in this tax agency fund. The tax roll for 2018 was $95 million. The tax roll fund had collected $58 million of that and was holding it in cash at the end of the year. Those funds did not become available to the city until the first distribution in mid-January of 2018, and then there are statutory dates that we need to disperse those funds in the collection process during 2018. The other major agency fund that we have is the OPEB Employee Benefit Trust. What's important for you to understand is Franklin is very unique in the state. Actually, I think John might even comment on this, but in the country, in that we actually have an OPEB trust fund where we are funding our obligation to employees and have collected, I'm going to say, roughly 70-80% of the estimated liability. That's very unique in the state. What it means to us as a city is that we're being very conservatively managed. It's a result of a decision you made back in 2008 to continue to fund this particular fund, and it will decrease the costs in the future of providing this benefit to employees because it will be funded when those costs arrive. Our actuary has actually given us the estimate that by 2025, expenditures or benefit payments will exceed the annual contributions, and then we'll be able to draw down from this fund and not have to tax the taxpayers to support that.
Paul, is that primarily pension?
This is providing health benefits to employees after they retire, but before they qualify for Medicare. The primary beneficiary of this fund is public safety employees because of the earlier retirement dates that are allowed. Public works employees, I think, get 5 years of coverage under this plan, whereas public safety gets from age 53 to age 65, so 12 years, and general government employees get 2 years worth of benefit under this program. Then there are two business-type funds that are included in this report, the Sanitary Sewer Fund and the Water Fund. The Sewer Fund had $3.3 million in revenues. It showed a deficit of $1.9 million. Most of that was depreciation on the Ryan Creek Interceptor. That, if you recall, we changed our accounting policy in the prior year. The Water Fund had $6 million in revenue. It was very flat to the prior year. It showed a small surplus in the fund, $660,000 worth of income, and that fund has a $2.7 million unrestricted fund balance, and nearly half of that will be used in 2018 on new capital expenditures. One is a planned water main relay in the Rawson Homes area. the water utility fund will fund that out of its current fund balance. The enterprise funds, the report makes the note that utility rates are currently artificially low. The utility funds are not generating sufficient funds to replace the assets. 75% to 80% of the assets in these funds were donated by developers over time, and when those assets need to be replaced, the ratepayers, the people who are using these services, will have to come up with the money to do so. And so it's way off in the future, but there will be a policy issue that needs to be addressed at some point in time as these water mains and sewer mains need to be replaced and the other infrastructure. So those are the major points coming out of the utility funds. We have one other fund that we have, the self-insurance fund. This provides health benefits to active employees, so not retired. This is the active employees. That fund generated $3 million in resources. $2.4 million of that came from taxpayers. $400,000 of that came from employees as they're paying premiums. The fund had $3.9 million in benefits, so it generated nearly a $900,000 deficit. The deficit in the prior year was $700,000, so finance is quite concerned that this fund is speeding at a very fast pace, depleting resources. The fund had a $3.2 million fund balance in 2015. It's currently down to $1.9 million. 2018 is on pace to also generate a substantial deficit. 2019 is likely to have a significant increase in city costs to replenish this particular fund. Government-wide statements. So this is a second set of statements that are provided in this report. This is on a longer-term basis, so it looks at expenditures to buy new assets like snow plows and fire trucks. Those become assets which are then depreciated. The employee long-term benefits, so pension benefits into the future, that is now represented in these reports. It's not represented except to the extent of contributions to the plan in the governmental statements, the short-term basis, and the OPEB contributions are reflected in here. Debt payments are not expenses, and neither are debt receipts. The debt that we borrow, when we borrow money, it's listed as a liability in this set of statements, and payments are just uses of resources to pay it down. They are not expenses. So this particular basis, the city showed where on the governmental short-term basis we had a $400,000 surplus. On this basis, we have a $4 million surplus. The bulk of that surplus came by way of a $3 million contribution when the Milwaukee County contributed St. Martin's Road to the city. That represented a $3 million contribution to the city. Why that's important to you is in the future, the city will have to maintain this road and ultimately replace the road surface. And you're going to see that in sort of in some longer-term views that I present to you in a few minutes.
State that with North Cape then prior to, was that
the year, and you're going to see that in a minute. But you're right. When they contributed North Cape, that was also a contribution to the city. And Milwaukee County, you might remember, also Alderman, in the prior year contributed a section of South 68th Street, which was, I think, that was a much smaller because it was a shorter road and a much smaller amount.
$1 million.
Something on that order. So the statement of activities, which is the Exhibit B in your statement, it's a somewhat complex statement, but it's organized in three different fashions. On the left-hand side, you see the expenses by activity in the city, and that includes depreciation, it includes pension costs, includes all these non-cash costs in that particular report. Then there's revenues on three different bases, charges for services, operating grants, and capital grants, and then you get to a net expense because those revenues do not cover these costs. And that's where taxes, intergovernmental revenues, and other forms of revenues come into play, resulting in the $4 million surplus. So then I thought you would find, and ooh, I apologize that this doesn't.
It shows on the TV. On the monitors.
So on the monitors, you can see better than on this particular report, on the screen here. But what's really important are not necessarily the numbers along the side, but the shape of this graph. So this first graph that you're looking at is a 10-year history of revenues, but this is only looking at tax revenues. The top line, which is in the not quite $20 million range, is the tax levy for the general fund, all the capital funds, and the library fund. So this is all the tax revenues that support capital expenditures as well as operating costs. And you'll note that it's very, very flat, but slightly inclining. At the bottom of this report, you see debt service. So debt service in our city is a relatively small number, $1.3 million currently. This number has been declining over the years. And what's been happening as the debt service levy has declined, those revenues went into operating and capital, keeping the total tax levy flat. And that's something we've been talking about. The last particular item that you see on this report is the TID tax levy. I would note this spike back in 2010. That's when TID 2 was going really, really strong, and we closed it, and then that tax levy went away. That tax levy did not go into the other funds. Those tax levies, when the TID closes, the tax levy substantially goes away. And that's why it's separately reported on these reports. Then I've got another look at other forms of revenue to the city. Again, these revenues are on the long-term basis, not on the short-term basis. I will have graphs for you at the end that talk about the general fund, which is that short-term basis.
Alderman Taylor.
Well, when we closed the levy back in 10, half of the money was a levy reduction, almost like a rebate, right? That number went down.
Right.
And then the rest went to a couple different funds. Right?
Right, that would all be showing here, okay? Now, what happened, because Alderman, you are exactly correct.
Oh, when I know.
You are a very intelligent gentleman.
Wow.
And you remember things
deep in
quite
your...
well.
Yeah.
So when the TID closed, the city received an additional tax levy of nearly $600,000.
Right, $600.
Okay? But you see the total tax levy went down, even though we got more money. And the reason for that is the city then imposed a $1.1 million new fee on the residents for the solid waste fund.
Oh,
and so
that dropped the
need to tax
because
it went in as a charge for services.
Still, that was three to three.
You, me.
So this particular revenue chart looks at three other revenue sources. The top one are now the scale, which is hard to see on this screen, but you can see there. It's substantially different. The tax revenue service peaked out at $25 million up here. This particular item peaks out at $2.5 million. So $1 for every $10 of revenue of tax levy is showing up on this particular one. This top one is other intergovernmental revenues. There are two spikes that occur. Back in 2011, the state gave the city a substantial additional amount of revenue, and that was related to transportation aids, but it stayed with us for 1 year. And that nearly $700,000 disappeared the next year. Then in 2015, a one-time exempt computer aid amounting to about $300,000 came into the city. But when the property owner who owned that moved back out of the city, those tax revenues went away, intergovernmental services went away. So from beginning to end over these 10-year time frame, intergovernmental revenues have remained almost flat. Other taxes are represented by this line, and you see this increase in the last 2 years. That represents the hotel tax, which has now started to come into the city because of the advent of a second major hotel in the city. And lastly, you see this line here, which has gone a steep decline, and that's representing investment earnings. So back in 2008, before the economic recession that hit the city, short-term investment rates were in the 2 and 3% range, and the city, because of its investments, generated nearly $2 million in investment income. With the Federal Reserve depressing interest rates down to nearly a half or a quarter of a percent, our investment earnings have dropped. Even though our investments are similarly sized, our investment earnings are next to none.
Paul, this other taxes is going to start going down.
The other taxes are going to be, they're capped by the new state revenue limits on how much of the hotel tax we can use for general fund purposes. We will see some increase, but not as much as we're collecting because much of it is now going to be going off to the
Tourism
Commission. So one other set of revenues that I show here, and again, I'm using a similar small scale. These are all the other revenues. There's really two lines that you need to pay attention to. this line here, which are capital contributions, and Alderman, where you talked about North Cape Road, that's this spike, and this spike here, it's still up, is the St. Martin's Road. There was a smaller element back in here. We had 26th Street. This peak here were developer grants on new subdivisions into the city at that point in time. That's what caused that particular spike. And then this other line that you see goes back to something else, Alderman Taylor, you mentioned. This spike up at this point, that's the solid waste fee coming on, $1.1 million increase. That's this list. This lift here is the new landfill siting revenues that began to come into the city. And you, this lift from here to here, which is very small, is the annual increase that we're seeing in landfill siting revenues. So those revenues will begin to spike up a little bit in the next couple of years as we move to phase two of that agreement.